Why are some minds drawn to darkness? Is it the thrill of the unknown or something far more sinister? Hello and welcome, fellow sleuths and curiosity seekers. You're tuning in to The Real Crime Diary, Daily Dose of Crime, the podcast where every day brings a new shade of noir to the stories you thought you knew. Here, we don't just skim the surface. We dive deep into the abyss of true crime, dissecting every detail with precision. If you're fascinated by the macabre dance between shadow and light, then my friends, you're in the perfect place. Now I know you're all on the edge of your seats, waiting for today's dose, so let's not keep the mystery waiting. Don't forget to hit subscribe for your daily dose of crime, and if the suspense isn't too much to handle, share this podcast with your fellow truth seekers.
In the penumbral corridors of power, where the line between law and lawlessness blurs, there lies the clandestine world of the mafia. A society within a society, its tales are soaked in the ink of secrecy and stained with the blood of its foes. Welcome to The Real Crime Diary, where each chapter we unfurl unfolds the cryptic tapestry of true criminal enterprise. Today, we unbutton the suit jacket of one such emblematic figure, a man who etched his name with a quiet force into the annals of organized crime, Russell Bufalino. Sit back as we take a dive deep into the dusky shadows of crime and turn back the pages to the humble beginnings of a man who would become one of the most enigmatic crime bosses in American history. This is a journey not just through the life of a mobster, but through an era that redefined the underbelly of the American dream. Russell Bufalino's story begins not in the smoky back rooms of a Pennsylvania mob hangout, but on the sun-drenched shores of Montedoro in Sicily. Born on October 29, 1903, into the humble beginnings of a Sicilian family, young Rosario, later Russell Bufalino, would cross an ocean only to see his life steeped in the shadowed world of organized crime. His father, Angelo, set the path by immigrating to the coal-mining heartlands of Pittston, Pennsylvania, just months before Russell's birth. Tragedy struck early. Angelo met his fate in a mine accident, and the family, without its head, retreated back to their homeland. These experiences of loss and migration weren't just footnotes in Russell's early life. They sowed the seeds of resilience and adaptability that would later define his reign in the murky depths of crime. Returning to America as a child, Bufalino would soon experience another tragic blow with the death of his mother. An orphan by the age of 10, young Russell learned to carve his own path. And as it happened, this path wound its way through the treacherous underbelly of Buffalo's criminal world. Bufalino, by now a teenager, was not just surviving. He was learning the ins and outs of a life shaded from the law. From petty crimes, he began building the acumen for grander schemes. And love? It found him, too, in the figure of Carolyn Carey Ciandra, a woman herself born into the network of mafia ties. Their union was not just romantic. It was strategic, linking Bufalino with the influential Sicilian mafia families that occupied the echelons of power in American crime. Buffalo served as a crucible, forging alliances and relationships with fellow mobsters, many of whom would rise to the ranks of infamous power within their respective families. These were crucial alliances, networks of trust, bonds of blood and honor, that would propel Bufalino from a young man struggling with loss to a figure of formidable influence. A significant furrow in Bufalino's climb was his friendship with his first boss, John C. Montana. A fellow immigrant from Montedoro, Montana illustrated for Bufalino the power one could hold with the right ties and the right moves. The close-knit nature of these Sicilian-American communities provided a strong fabric for organized crime, interwoven so tightly that it often seemed impenetrable to outsiders, including law enforcement. In time, Russell Bufalino would transcend these early associations to assert his own control over the organized crime actions in upstate New York and northeastern Pennsylvania. Yet, even as he grew in power, the lessons of his early life remained. The significance of family, the usefulness of loyalty, the mastery of operating in the shadows. Little did the world know, a young Sicilian immigrant navigating loss and hardship in the early streets of New York would become one of the most enigmatic and powerful crime bosses, a figure whose shadowy influence would extend far beyond the coal mines and the criminal escapades of his youth. From the gritty streets of Buffalo, New York, to the coal-shadowed communities of northeastern Pennsylvania, Russell Bufalino's rise up the criminal hierarchy was as strategic as it was ruthless. The early 20th century was a heyday for organized crime, and the landscape was ripe for someone with Bufalino's cunning and ambition. He wasn't just any up-and-comer in the mafia. Russell Bufalino was building an empire. When the spotlight wasn't on him, Bufalino operated quietly, yet effectively. He didn't rise alone. He cultivated pivotal alliances that would lay the foundation for his longevity in the underworld. His marriage to Carolyn Ciandra, herself from a Sicilian mafia lineage, wasn't just a union of love, but also a merging of powerful criminal affiliations. As Bufalino made himself indispensable to other key figures within the Buffalo mob, his own sphere of influence grew. These relationships with future leaders of other Cosa Nostra families across the East Coast weren't based merely on financial gain or shared criminal enterprises. They were rooted in trust, omerta, the code of silence, and above all, family ties. Taking notes from his criminal associates in Buffalo, Bufalino honed his methods, strategies, and operations. His move to Kingston, Pennsylvania, marked a new chapter as he began to establish his own territory. It was there that he built the northeastern Pennsylvania crime family, which he governed with an iron fist hidden beneath a velvet glove. Bufalino's strength was in his discretion and his ability to manipulate connections behind the scenes. By the late 1950s, he had ingrained himself deeply enough that, upon the death of Joseph Barbara, the commission, an assembly of the heads of the American mafia families, recognized Bufalino as the official crime boss of his family. As boss, Bufalino had his hands in everything from the garment industry to gambling, but always with a scrupulous sense of awareness. Under his lead, the family thrived, extending its criminal activities beyond Pennsylvania and New York to parts unknown. What truly set Bufalino apart was his ability to manage his criminal organization like a chess grandmaster. Every move was calculated. Every decision carried with it the anticipation of future obstacles. He deployed his soldiers with precision, understanding that less exposure meant less interference from law enforcement. Perhaps one of Bufalino's most significant legacies was his insistence on keeping lower-level mobsters in the dark about the family's full scale of operations. This ensured that if they were ever apprehended, the damage they could do to the family would be minimal. He knew that a boss should not only rule but also protect his empire. Bufalino's reign wasn't free from challenges, but his shrewdness and meticulous caution allowed him to navigate the most treacherous of waters. Whether it was avoiding entanglements with the Immigration and Naturalization Service or sidestepping traps set by rivals within and outside the Cosa Nostra, Bufalino moved with the grace and peril of a panther in the moonlight, silent, nearly invisible, but always there. Always watching. Always in control. Russell Bufalino's story is not just one of ascension. It is a stark reminder of how deep the roots of organized crime can grow when fed with ambition, strategy, and an enduring code of silence. His rise to power would become the thing of legend, setting a benchmark for what it means to be a true don in the world of La Cosa Nostra. In the underbelly of the American dream, there was a town that witnessed a convocation like no other. Appalachian, New York. An unassuming name that would become etched in the annals of organized crime history. It was here where, on a chilled November day in 1957, the most notorious and powerful figures of the Cosa Nostra gathered. The lit fuse that would bring Russell Bufalino unparalleled scrutiny and forever change the landscape of the mafia. The gathering was the brainchild of Vito Genovese, aiming to assert his control and discuss the future of La Cosa Nostra. To host this summit, he looked towards two influential crime bosses, Stefano the Undertaker Magadino and, yes, our very own Russell Bufalino. Their objective, to cover critical mob business, from the gambling havens of Cuba to the narcotics that threaded through the veins of their operations. The garment industry, the loan sharking, it was a meeting to streamline organized crime's dark tapestry across America. Picture it. The majestic estate of mob boss Joseph Barbara, the wine flowing, the discussions intense. But in a twist befitting a noir thriller, a sergeant named Edgar D. Croswell had his eyes on Barbara's residence. The lawman, rich in intuition and grit, caught wind of an unusual flurry of activity. Rooms booked out in local hotels, a suspicious delivery of meat to the estate. Something was up. Croswell moved his pieces into play, resulting in police barricades that became nets, ensnaring the unsuspecting mafiosi. For Russell Bufalino and his cohorts, the party was over. Imagine their dismay as they stumbled through brambles and fields, luxury suits spoiled, freedom snatched away, a stark contrast to their usually untouchable existence. As fate had it, Bufalino's own car with Genovese and company as passengers was stopped at a roadblock. Their explanation, a simple visit to an ailing friend. A thin veil over their true intentions, wouldn't you agree? Now, the magnitude of this blunder can't be overstated. Decades of shadowy manipulation surfaced as these mobsters had been paraded before the eyes of the law. The fallout was seismic. Fines as steep as the hills of Sicily, and prison sentences that promised a bleak future. Though through the serpentine legal system, their convictions were overturned. Their impressions on history were cast in stone. The Appalachian meeting exposed the organized crime network to the light, prompting an era of relentless pressure from law enforcement. For Bufalino, the ramifications were potent, a spotlight he never desired and one that began the unraveling of his meticulously woven empire. Indeed, the Appalachian meeting was not just a turning point for Russell Bufalino. It was a shockwave that rippled through the fabric of the mafia, a crescendo that would echo through decades, memorializing the once shadowy figures in the stark light of infamy. The meeting, esteemed listeners, wasn't just a summit. It was the beginning of an end, an unveiling of the myth of the untouchable mob. In the shadows where the rule of law and the cunning of the criminal mind meet, we find tales of relentless resilience, a game of chess between figures of authority and those who operate in secrecy. For Russell Bufalino, life was a continuous dance with danger, one in which he often led. Yet even as he commanded respect amongst peers and instilled fear in many hearts, Bufalino's dominion was not without its formidable challenges. In particular, the efforts by the U.S. government to deport him stood as a testament to the enduring power struggle between the mafia and the legal system. Throughout the 1950s, the eyes of the Immigration and Naturalization Service were firmly fixed on Bufalino. The legal wrangling was intense. Imagine for a moment you are Bufalino, feeling the hot breath of the government on your neck, its hands desperately grappling to snatch you from the very land that you've made your own. The U.S. wanted Bufalino out, intending to send him back to Italy, a place he had not called home for decades, and where the Italian government itself was unwilling to receive him. There lies the irony. Bufalino, a sizable thorn in the side of the U.S. authorities and yet somehow untouchable, slipping through bureaucratic fingers like wisps of smoke. What can you say about a man who appears indomitable in the face of such concerted pressure? Russell Bufalino was not simply a survivor, but a man who thrived on the very attempts to undermine his power. Over a span of 15 years, multiple attempts to deport him came to naught, an affirmation of Bufalino's shrewdness and his uncanny ability to be always a step ahead. Bufalino's resilience did not just lie in evading expulsion. His contest with the law had wider ramifications and exemplified the broader conflict that would define organized crime's narrative in America. The government, embodying the structured cloud of the law, faced off against the deeply entrenched clandestine networks of the Cosa Nostra. It was an epic tug of war for the soul of society's underbelly, with Bufalino becoming an emblem of the mafia's stubborn defiance against legal boundaries. Yet, despite the cloak of near invincibility that Bufalino wore so well, his empire, this chessboard of illicit power, would eventually feel the consequence of the legal system's relentless pursuit. The challenges to his sovereignty were mounting, and the walls, it seemed, were closing in. Bufalino's tale here is but a microcosm, a single chapter in the larger, sprawling epic of organized crime's history. As you sit there, captivated by Bufalino's story, let's prepare to delve deeper into the twilight of his empire in the next segment, understanding how the very persistence that once buoyed his rule began to signal its end. Stay tuned as we walk you through the decline of a once powerful don. Time doesn't spare anyone, not even the most formidable of crime bosses. As we venture into the twilight years of Russell Bufalino's reign over the northeastern Pennsylvania crime family, we find a stark contrast to the man who once held unshakable power. In the early 70s, a formidable storm was brewing for Bufalino. Al Martino, famously known for his role as Johnny Fontaine in The Godfather, credit the Don for his cinematic opportunity, revealing the real-world intersections of organized crime and Hollywood. But such alignments couldn't divest the growing legal noose tightening around Bufalino's neck. 1973 saw Bufalino arrested in a Scranton nightclub, a jarring sight for those who viewed him as an untouchable figure within the underworld. Charged with a litany of offenses, from obstruction of justice to transportation of stolen property, it was a harbinger of darker times ahead. Even with a $50,000 bail, the glint of freedom would soon grow dimmer. Just 4 years later, the word extortion would become trailing shadows behind Bufalino's name. Jack Napoli, under the Witness Protection Program, painted Russell as a man who would let no debt go unsettled, to the extent of threatening one's life. As the 70s waned, so did the might of the criminal mastermind. Recognizing the perilous road ahead, Bufalino distanced himself from the day-to-day operations, promoting Caporegime Edward Ciandra to act in his stead. August 8, 1978. Marks a pivotal day. A conviction leads to imprisoning the once all-powerful crime boss, confined within the sterile walls that are far from the luxurious decadence of mob life. Serving nearly three of a four-year sentence, it seemed justice had finally caught up with Bufalino, but fate wasn't finished. Released in May 1981, Bufalino's freedom was ephemeral, indicted again, this time for a conspiracy most sinister, to murder the witness, Napoli. Details unfolded in the courtroom, with Jimmy Fratiano divulging a plot steeped in deadly intentions. Bufalino, the elegant architect, had attempted to contract Napoli's assassination back in 76. The subsequent trial led to a decade of incarceration, robbing Bufalino of years and clout, isolating him in United States Penitentiary, Leavenworth. These latter years were reflective, perhaps leading him to ponder the impermanence of power, or the solitary end that awaited beyond the clutches of authority. With Bufalino imprisoned, his crime family felt the impact, a diminished force facing the relentless excavation by federal investigations. Upon his release in 1989, Bufalino, once the center of a thriving criminal empire, saw the reins pass it to Billy D'Elia. The once mighty empire had no place for an aging don in a world that was rapidly changing. A world that was becoming increasingly hostile to the ways of the old guard. On a cold February day in 1994, Russell Bufalino took his last breath in Nesbitt Memorial Hospital in Kingston, Pennsylvania. At age 90, the quiet Don met a quiet end. His empire, his battles, his cunning now were but echoes in the annals of organized crime history. Buried in Denison Cemetery in Swoyersville, Pennsylvania, Bufalino's story remains a cautionary tale of the rise and inevitable fall of a crime lord, the immutable truth that every empire, no matter how mighty, will eventually face its twilight. Russell Bufalino, an enigmatic figure who wielded immense power quietly, earning him the moniker the Quiet Don. His legacy stretches far beyond the historical records of crime and into the rich tapestry of contemporary pop culture. Despite his efforts to fly under the radar, his life story captivates audiences and serves as an alluring enigma that fascinates to this very day. Bufalino's influence can be felt not just in the dark corners of Pennsylvania's underworld, but also in the Hollywood spotlights. His portrayal by the legendary Joe Pesci in Martin Scorsese's epic film, The Irishman, is a testament to the mystique that surrounds him. Pesci's performance, which was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, did more than just illustrate the calm yet calculated demeanor of Bufalino. It introduced the crime boss to a new generation, captivating viewers with his cunning and control, a role that admittedly required a reduction in personality volume to match the subtlety for which Bufalino was known. But it's not only the silver screen that has immortalized Bufalino. The written word has also cast a spotlight on his story through journalistic endeavors, such as in The Quiet Don, The True Story of Mafia Kingpin Russell Bufalino, by Matt Birkbeck. Published in October 2014, this book unravels the enigma, diving into the personal and professional aspects of Bufalino's life. Bufalino's saga is not merely a string of criminal escapades, it offers a looking glass into the intricate dynamics of the mafia. His story demonstrates the complexity of relationships within this clandestine society, and the breadth of influence exerted by a man often invisible to the public eye. There's a blend of fascination and horror as one contemplates how this individual operated with impunity for decades, evading the grasp of law enforcement and the eye of the public. Moreover, our fascination with Bufalino lies in the contradiction between his low profile and the high impact of his actions. The legacy of major crime figures like him offers potent tales of ambition, power, and cautionary fates that resonate in a society where sometimes the behind-the-scenes players might hold more sway than the headline names. To explore the continuing allure of Bufalino is to delve into a phenomenon that transcends crime. It encapsulates the hunger for tales that challenge our perceptions of power, connect us across time with stories of epic rises and falls, and provoke critical reflections on the nature of authority and influence. The story of Russell Bufalino, with its secrecy and whispers of quiet conversations in dimly lit rooms, remains a magnetic force drawing in those with a penchant for the underworld's tapestry of tales. So, dear listeners, what is it about figures like the Quiet Don that grips our imagination so tenaciously? Is it the seeming paradox of silent might, or the realization that there are yet untold stories hidden in the shadows of history? Does Bufalino's life enthrall you for the power he wielded, or is it the enigma of the man himself that keeps us captivated? We've traveled through the somber alleyways of Russell Bufalino's life, tracing the silent steps of a man whose very name commanded respect, fear, and power in the heyday of the mob. But even as we reach the end of our journey, questions linger, echoing through the vaults of history. What is it about the clandestine operations, the allure of secret societies like the mafia, that continue to captivate us, generation after generation? Could it be the ostentatious display of loyalty and honor among thieves? Or is it the chilling effectiveness of their reach, seeping into the veins of our cities and our institutions? How has the American narrative been sculpted by the invisible hands of figures like Bufalino? And more intriguingly, what vestiges of these bygone empires remain entwined in the tapestry of our current societal fabric? As you mull over these questions, I invite you, our avid listeners, to open the floodgates of discussion, share your theories, ignite the conversation, and participate in the dissection of these historical enigmas. If Russell Bufalino's saga has sparked a fire within you, then let that fire roar in the comments below. Don't forget to show your support by subscribing, liking, and sharing The Real Crime Diary, where every story is a peek behind the curtain of our past, and every ending is the beginning of a new inquiry. Until next time, keep your eyes wide open, for the echoes of history are all around us, waiting to be heard.
Jump into the week with Murder Mondays, as we unravel some of the most chilling murder mysteries. Ever wonder what lurks behind the psychology of perpetrators or the precision of forensic milestones? Oh, we've got those stories, and they're waiting to send a chill do. But wait until Tech Tuesdays, when we bridge the gap between crime and technology. Cyber heists, digital footprints. Technology has a dark side, and we're turning on the flashlight. As we leap over to Wanted Wednesdays, gear up to join the global manhunt. The world's most elusive become our target as we track down the profound stories of escape and evasion. Now, Thursdays aren't for the faint-hearted. Terror. Thursdays dig deep into the impact of terrorism and extremism, unfolding motives and aftermaths that have shaped the world. Freaky Fridays, oh, you're in for a treat, or perhaps a trick. These are the stories that defy explanation, when the ordinary turns extraordinary and the unexplainable becomes the narrative. And to cap off the week, Siberian Saturdays chill us to the bone. We reinvestigate the cold cases that echo through time, awaiting the warmth of resolution. Before we wrap up, I want to give a big shout out to all of our dedicated listeners. Your support through sharing and subscribing keeps these stories alive. Spreading the word is spreading the awareness. And in this dark, shadowy labyrinth, awareness is the beacon of hope. We're in this together, and the journey continues day by day, each episode unlocking another chapter. So stay engaged and keep that sense of wonder and curiosity alive. If today's glimpse into The Real Crime Diary has snared your interest, just wait until you hear what's coming up. There's never a dull moment in the quest for truth and justice, because the next page is always darker and even more enthralling than the last. Remember, by delving into the dark, we bring light to the mysteries of criminal behavior and the unending quest for justice. That's it for today's dose of crime, but the diary is never closed. Until next time, keep the finger on the pulse, but don't let the darkness pull you in. I'll be here page by page, story by story, revealing what's hidden in the grim corners of crime and justice. Stay curious, and until we meet on the next day's entry, keep an ear to the ground and an eye on the shadows.